Thank you for tuning in to episode 6 of the Keto Matrix podcast. In this episode, Brittany and I have the pleasure of sitting down with Robert Sykes, Keto Savage. This is an episode I've been long awaiting to release to you guys, as there is so many nuggets to be had. Not only do we talk about building muscle on keto, but as a competitive bodybuilder, Robert Sykes, the Keto Savage, has done so many other things to flip the industry on its head. You will want to re-listen to this episode over and over again. We talk about things from eating disorders to how he used a cooler to build his chest. Definitely tune in, share with others, and remember, hardships cause growth. Don't run from them, embrace them. Let's jump into the episode. Thank you for liking, subscribing, and reviewing 5 stars. We appreciate you.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com. Now, let's jump into our latest episode.
Hey, Brittany, so I know that we've had a couple long-awaited guests that finally came on. I don't want to say that this is my most exciting invitation that has been accepted, but I'm pretty stoked for this individual.
Because if anybody else listens, then they're going to be like, well, what am I, chopped liver?
Yeah, I know. I feel like that would just be rude, but I will say that.
but I'm going to say it anyway, because I'm Neo.
No, right. Well, so, but I will say, as far as like the most impactful individual, one of the most impactful individuals and actually starting the podcast was this individual. He told me which mic I should get. He's definitely got one of the best audio profiles of any podcast that I listen to. And he keeps it pretty straightforward and really conversational. So I will say that the inspiration to the podcast was definitely from him. So without further ado, this is Keto Savage, Robert Sykes, all the way from Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Oh, man. Well, I don't even know how to. I mean, I appreciate that. Make me feel all warm and fuzzy inside with an intro like that.
I haven't even said anything about you yet. They could say Robert Sykes, Keto Savage, in Arkansas. I mean, I'm New York born and bred, so that might like throw them for a loop in general. But yeah, man, it's definitely been a long time awaiting to be able to just connect with you and get you on and introduce you to the listeners and, you know, the few people that may not know you. I think it's so weird sometimes. We actually recorded with your brother Danny on Wednesday, and you know, I told him, I was like, I feel like you guys have such a strong following that there's probably not that many people out that don't know who you are, right? But I know there's still someone in the corner of the world that hasn't heard of you, and so if you wouldn't mind, just kind of give us a little bit of your background and who you are and what you do and how you found keto.
Yeah. So I've been keto strict for about 4 years now. I'm a lifetime natural competitive bodybuilder. Been competing. I've been lifting about 8 or 10 years now. I lost count, but keto for 4. And I kind of did everything wrong. Like followed a standard bro diet approach to nutrition. Developed eating disorders. Just totally trashed my body. Did everything wrong. And then from that, kind of in my hopes of finding something better, kind of stumbled upon keto by accident through like carbohydrate backloading, and then that kind of progressed into keto, what I learned keto to become, and it's pretty much just been history since then, man. I fell into that and became so passionate about what that did for me that I wanted to replicate it in others, and have since, you know, built the brand, built the business, and I'm just trying to make waves in the keto space and empower others to do the same, man.
Man, that's awesome. Brittany, I have like a myriad of questions that come from that, but I know you probably do too, so I'm going to let you throw out a couple first.
You know, I'm going to let you go through with some of your questions because I know you have a lot and we only have a short amount of time and you're going to ask them either way, so we need to go ahead and get started. I'll build off of that.
That sounds perfect. So my first thing is, just for definition purposes, I'm trying to do better. Brittany is making it a point that when I say things that I elaborate and explain it so people understand it. So can you kind of give people an idea of what is a natural bodybuilder? What does that space look like? What does that definition look like so that people kind of get a better idea of what that is? Because me looking at your profile picture, I'd be like, man, I don't know how this guy got that way, but yeah, well, but I've never looked like that, so.
Yeah. So like natural bodybuilding, I mean, bodybuilding in general, like it's a very unique sport, and I don't ever want to take anything away from people that are, you know, competing on the IFBB stage and are using performance enhancement drugs. Like they're freaking killing it, and hats off to them. I've just never wanted to go that route myself because I've just wanted to become like the epitome of health. And I feel like, you know, taking those drugs would not really reflect that. I compete in natural shows, which basically they'll drug test you. They make sure that you don't, you know, take any of the banned substances. They've got a pretty extensive banned substance list. I mean, a lot of the pre-workouts that are out there today, you know, take you and they disqualify you. So pretty stringent list of, you know, what's allowed and not allowed from a natural bodybuilding perspective. Natural bodybuilding, you don't put on near as much size as some of the guys that are walking around shredded at, you know, 280 pounds. But I feel like, you know, I'm playing the long game. I feel like, you know, taking this path and holding true to the health and the training, I'm going to still be looking good when I'm, you know, 80 years old. So I'm taking the long game approach for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool. And thank you for that. I know that, I mean, I obviously knew the background and all, but I want to make sure that people get an idea of, you know, you have done what you've done through consistent dedication and not, you know, there were no shortcuts or things that were added in to help boost you. I would say keto is a huge boost, right? I mean, knowing what I know about keto now, it definitely helps, but it's still one of those things that takes a lot more dedication and consistency than most people give it credit for. So congratulations on that, man. That's absolutely awesome. And I know you
appreciate it, yeah.
You've lost count on how long you've been lifting, but I mean, how did you get into that space? Were you just always the kid that was in the gym lifting weights, or did you play sports? How did that kind of come about?
No, I was tiny. I was 115 pounds in high school, man. Like, I didn't have any size to me. And my uncle, he was kind of like the bigger guy in the family. He played football, and I wanted to kind of emulate him because he was just more outgoing, more built. And I'm like, okay, I want to emulate that, you know. And he kind of took me under his wing and showed me a few things, but very, very primitive. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. We lived out in the country, and I didn't have a gym membership, didn't have a way to get to the gym. So I literally just made a gym with pieces of steel and tractor equipment we had laying around the house. And that was pretty much my gym for the first year and a half of my training. And then from there, I kind of got a gym membership and got a vehicle and kind of progressed from that. But yeah, I started very, very primitively. I didn't have anybody really showing me what to do per se. And it's kind of funny what you were saying earlier about what's capable natural. I mean, people will think that I'm on steroids when I'm on stage and I'm shredded down like that. But it is mind blowing when you push the human body to its absolute limit, what the human body is truly capable of. And for me as a natural athlete, that's been my sole focus, like pushing my limits both physically, mentally, and emotionally. And I don't know, like bodybuilding is just a really good outlet for me to do just that.
Man, that's awesome. For some reason, when you started talking about, you know, your first gym and the first year in tractor equipment, I immediately saw Rocky IV when he's in Russia training in like the basement with the wagon and everything. I'm just like, there he is.
That's pretty much what I had, man. It was very, very, very basic. My first bench was an ice chest, an igloo ice chest with a towel over top of it. That's what it was.
Awesome. That's awesome.
I mean, talk about shutting excuses down, man. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I don't have time for excuses.
Oh, man, I love that. That's absolutely awesome. I know that alone, if we stop, would inspire someone to get up and get moving. So that's really cool. I know you said your physical, emotional, and mental to bodybuilding. Can you kind of unpack that? I think that it's one of those things I keep hanging on, and I don't know if it's because lately with everything I've had going on with life, sometimes I have to check into what the challenges are I'm looking at and having to overcome and work through. But a lot of times I know clients, and I know Brittany can attest to this, people will say, hey, you know, I want to start a diet. And I never have looked at keto as a diet. I never looked at it to lose weight. And it's definitely one of the top five things I've ever done that really have impacted my life, but it's come with its own challenges mentally and emotionally. And I don't know that enough people recognize that when they're embarking on this journey that is keto. So can you kind of talk a little bit about, you can talk keto, you can talk bodybuilding, but how has it been for you mentally and emotionally with kind of going through that stuff? And what do you do to kind of keep motivated and stay consistent?
Yeah, so keto for me is like a tool, you know, like that's been like a liberating tool that I've used to gain control of my health and nutrition. When I was following the standard bro diet, like I didn't have any concept of what hunger or full or satiety was. And that's kind of when I developed the eating disorder, because I just was so detached from what my body needed. Whereas with keto, I've become so much more in tune with what my body actually needs from a fuel standpoint that I can give it what it needs and know that it's right. So keto is just liberating. That's my lifestyle nutritional choice, and that's just liberating. For bodybuilding, like the physical, mental, emotional that I talk about there, I mean, I feel like, you know, we live in a day and age where we're all we're all blessed. I mean, we're all great. Like, we're living in America, especially. I mean, you got everything you're going for you. You know, like, we're not in the middle of a war. I'm not on the battlefront right now. Bodybuilding is like my self-imposed hardship, because hardship is what causes growth. And I'm not, you know, diagnosed with cancer. I'm not, like I said, on a battlefront. But if I can go into the gym and just push it to my total limit, if I can take my body and my mind to the threshold of what I thought was previously possible, and then bust through that plateau, then I'm basically reborn every single time I walk out of that gym. And that, you know, transcends itself and spills over into every aspect of my life, my business, my relationships, my everything. And that has shaped who I've become as a person. And that, I mean, that's where it's all at right there.
Man, that's awesome. That's so deep. I feel like I need to go back to the gym, because maybe I didn't push hard enough now.
I know. Oh, man. This morning's workout was not quite there.
I'm serious. Like, maybe, like, I could have.
There's days where I don't have good workouts either. You know, that's just being human. Like, there's days where I leave the gym and I'm just beating myself up because I know I could have pushed harder. But I think as long as you're trending in the right direction over time, that's the main thing. You know, like, as long as you don't overall take the shortcut. Like, when I'm in a crossroads, I always try and choose the harder route, because that's usually where you're going to grow as a person.
Oh, true story. That's great. That's so inspiring. I love that. So, you know, there's so many different things that I want to kind of have you talk through, because I've heard you talk about certain things before that I have said for forever. And it's nice to have someone else say it. So thank you for that. But with that said, I know that you've been doing something called Deeper State Keto. Can you kind of talk through a little bit of what that looks like and what your program is that you're kind of revealing and showing people on your own side of things?
Yeah. So Deeper State Keto is basically the result of, well, like, I've got clients, right? So I work with my clients. I've kind of developed a pretty effective protocol for how I train them. But with one-on-one coaching, you can't really scale that. Like, you can only have so many one-on-one clients, or else your quality starts, you know, decreasing. For sure. So I basically partnered up with Matt and Meg at Keto Connect. I worked with them directly as a one-on-one client. They saw great results. And then I took what we learned and kind of that protocol that I used on them, and we fashioned it into an online course that could be scaled up and impact more people. So it's basically a, you know, illustration of my coaching principles in an online course format that, you know, anybody can jump on and take advantage of.
Okay, so it's not necessarily for mass building or weight loss. It's more for, you know, doing keto with the goals that they may have in mind and then tweaking it accordingly.
No, it's definitely more of like a cutting course. Like, it goes into a caloric depletion, so it's not really a mass gaining protocol by any means. I do hope to come out with a mass gaining protocol at some point. But yeah, Deeper State Keto is more for, you know, body recomposition, losing body fat. And kind of, I mean, the name Deeper State Keto, that was kind of a result of, you know, I talk to my clients one-on-one. I have like one-on-one coaching client calls all my clients. And I kept saying, you know, I'm going to get you into a deeper state of ketosis, because what you're doing now is just not as optimal as you can get. And right. That name, they just kept saying that. Like, that's one of the few things that I just would repeat with every call. I'm like, well, shoot, we'll just call this course Deeper State Keto. And I think, like, kind of sticks, because, you know, people, they there's so much information on the website. You know, like, they go out there and they got paralysis analysis. And they try to do, you know, no carbs, no veggies, and then they go carnivore, and they'll have, like, no nuts, no dairy. And there's just so many different things they kind of manipulate. But the whole idea of this course is to strip away all the noise and get you into a deeper state of ketosis so that you can figure out what is optimal for you and then manipulate and adjust based off of that.
That's cool. Preaching to the choir. I love it. I think that, you know, so the whole name, the Keto Matrix, that came about for that exact reason. I felt like there was just so much noise. There was so much white noise that was out there that people were paying attention to everything. You know, when I change or tweak clients' macros or what they're doing or timing of meals, I always do one thing at a time. And I feel like there's so many people out there that they'll listen to a podcast here and they'll read a book here and they're in some kind of Facebook group here and they change 9 different things and then they can't figure out what the change was or why. And it's just like, you got to focus on one thing, focus on that, adjust that, and get yourself in the optimal position where you're really learning and understanding your body and what changes impact you in what way. Because I'm sure you see this with clients, even, you know, changing, there's certain base guidelines, right? Like, we keep consistent, but there's certain clients that you won't know it until you tweak it that little bit and see how your body responds to it, and then go from there. I'm always a firm believer that you should make the smallest change possible to elicit the greatest response, right? So, and in doing that and really being sensitive to that, you yield the greatest results. So that's absolutely awesome. I love that. I think that that's something that people should really, if they need to rewind and listen to that again, I think that's fantastic.
Oh yeah, 100%, man. And to realize that things are always dynamic and changing. Like, people will go onto a random website, plug in a macro calculator, you know, number, and, you know, put that as just word of God, and they'll never change from those macros. Even as their body changes, they don't change from those macros. And at some point, I mean, their body's not going to change because it has no reason to. So constantly, you know, looking at your body and your, you know, composition is something that's ever evolving, and then adjusting based off of that is key.
Man, that's good. That's good. What are your thoughts on, I know the answer to this question, but I want to throw it out there, on being able to cause a hypertrophic response, or a position where you're actually building muscle fibers, where they're getting stronger, adding muscle fiber tissue to your body without the intake of carbohydrates?
Yeah, you know the answer to this one already. I would just say, you know, look at my picture from 4 years ago, look at my picture now, you know. But yeah, it's 100% possible. I mean, you put your body through a stress response, and you attack it with a stimulus, and that stimulus takes the form of, you know, resistance training or training, and just any kind of stimulus is going to force the body to adapt. And you do that consistently, you apply enough pressure, and your body's going to adapt to that pressure, and that adaptation is going to take the form of fat loss or muscle building, whatever it is your goal is. And, you know, I train hard, I train heavy, and I train consistently, and as a result of that, I build muscle, and I don't have carb meals. I haven't had a carb meal in over 4 years, so you can definitely build muscle in the absence of carbohydrates.
Okay, awesome. So, yeah, I didn't know you were going to say that. When we talk carbohydrates, I feel like, you know, I got your keto brick, by the way. I have not tasted it yet.
I did this morning. It was delicious.
Did you really? I'm like, it's sitting right here next to me. And I'm like, man, I just haven't had the chance to. But with that said, what do you consider, like, what's your carb threshold? Because I feel like some people would say, oh, yeah, you know, well, I do keto and I'm at 50 grams of carbs a day. And I'm like, you don't need 50 grams of carbs. But what can you kind of define what that is for you? Like, what's your threshold? You said you haven't had a carb meal in, you know, almost 4 years. What do you look at number wise?
So kind of depends if I'm going into a building phase or a cutting phase. And I'm going into a cutting phase, and I'll be like south of 10 grams of total carbs, and I count total carbs, not net carbs. If I'm in like a maintenance or a building phase, I'll be around 20 grams of carbs. Right now I'm at 30 grams of carbs, but I'm doing an extreme bulking experiment in which I'm consuming 6,000 calories a day, 550 grams of fat. So it's all relative.
Wow. 550 grams of fat. That's a lot of fat, man. You should definitely be fueled up with that. That's I've done like 300 and 400 before, and 550 grams. I just can't even imagine. Very cool. I think that that's one of those things that probably plagues the community more so than anything else. And I'm going to say this is probably a little risky. I might have to change this to an explicit content podcast after I say this. But Robert, I know you can see me right now as we're on video. I'm black. So if you didn't know, I am. So I'm a minority. So there's certain things that I do that I am desensitized to the abnormal, right? I am used to going into places and people looking at me weird, or used to entering meetings where people are unaware of who they're going to have a meeting with, whatever it is. Like, I'm used to doing those things that are uncomfortable. How does it feel in Arkansas, in this keto industry and community, to do something that goes against not only in the keto community for the most part, but in the broad spectrum of like bodybuilding, to say, I can put on mass, I can put on size, I can build muscle and not need carbs? Because my friend, you are an extreme minority. There's not a lot of people that are, you know, subscribed to that concept.
I freaking love it. Like, I run off of that stuff. You know, like, people tell me I can't do something, I'm like, watch me, you know? And just like with bodybuilding, for instance, I mean, when I started my contest prep, when I started like just bodybuilding on keto, I got laughed at. Like, so many people said, that's impossible. You can't do it. You have to have carbs. And I'm like, okay, well, I feel really good. I don't have eating disorders anymore. And I'm functioning at a higher rate mentally than I ever had before. So I'm just going to kind of see where it takes me from a physical standpoint. And I beat them all, you know, and I'm going to continue to beat them, and I'm going to do it my way. and I'm not going to listen to the majority because I'm going to keep rocking my minority. And that's just all. That's all she wrote.
that's fantastic. I love that. So I think one of the things that I have come into lately is I've had more and more clients, especially that, you know, I had this influx of clients that came in like summer, right before summer, wanting to, you know, hit a certain goal before a certain period of time for, you know, the same summer bod thing that everybody wants to do. And a lot of people are finding it to be more difficult embracing the, I want to go out in the social arena, eat, and not have everyone look at me because I, you know, ordered extra butter or, you know, told them not to bring me the vegetables or whatever that thing was that they needed to do in order to stay within the context of them being keto and doing those things. What do you say to those people that are just now trying to get comfortable being uncomfortable?
I think I was kind of like, I don't know, I kind of had a head start on that because I was doing weird things before with bodybuilding. You know, like I literally would be in the middle of like final exams in college and every, like the final hour, everybody's just super focused. And here I am whipping out like a can of tuna because it's time for me to eat, you know, like I would do weird things anyways. So I was kind of desensitized to that. But with regards to keto, you're going out and like people will want me to go drink with them or something, for instance, you know, they want me to go drink, they want me to go have pizza, they want me to go to like a, you know, bakery, eat donuts and whatnot. And, you know, I live my life on my terms and I don't answer to anybody and I don't feel like I'm outcasted because of that. Like I'm winning right now in life, in my mind, and no short-term gain from having a beer or going to eat pizza is worth me sacrificing the success I'm seeing now and how I feel about myself. And if they look at me any different or down at me because of that, then to hell with them.
Nice. Love it. Brittany's like, oh, yeah. She's like, man, that, there's no way to better put that. I mean, that's fantastic.
I mean, there it is.
Yeah, I'm kind of just like saying how it is. I don't know if I'm supposed to.
No, please do. No, I think it's absolutely fantastic. I want people to embrace the strange. You know, I tend to look at the decisions that I make or what I'm going to do, which seem crazy for the most part. And Brittany can tell you, I'm definitely odd in that regard. But I look at
those people. I was going to make the comment earlier that you were used to people looking at you weird. And I was like, that's not because you're black. That's just because you're weird. But decided to be nice and let you make the point. But you opened it up. I couldn't let it go the second time.
That's okay. I wanted to tee it up for you. But having said that, though, like if you look at some of the greatest people that have impacted the world that we live in, right? Like they were not looked at as normal. I feel like you almost need to be abnormal in order to have success, if that's what your goal is. And I don't care what that is: success in life, success with your relationship, success with your business, success in keto. Like you have to be willing to have people look at you odd, because that's how you set the trend. That's how you are the one that's, you know, leading what's going on and the changes that are evolving. So kudos for that, man. That's always something I've always looked up to you for. I think that's it's absolutely inspiring. And I appreciate you saying it and keeping it straight and being transparent with that.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I look at people who I want to emulate or like pull something from, and I look at what they've done. Like so many people put so much weight in society, or even like their parents. And I love my parents, don't get me wrong, but I don't want the life that my parents have for themselves. So I don't necessarily want to emulate them and everything they do and follow the social norms that they do. Like I want to create my own path. And I mean, if you want to beat to a different drum, beat to your own drum, you got to do things differently. So yeah, go for it.
Yeah, true story. And I think, you know, I don't have any children, so I'm probably speaking out of turn on this one. But I would assume, I know my parents have always told me that they wanted me to learn from the lessons that they lived and they went through, so I didn't have to go through those same lessons of life. So I think that's how, I mean, it should be, right? Like people should want to progress beyond, you know, those that came before them, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But very cool. So Brittany, I could just keep hammering him with questions and things to pull out, but I don't want to leave you out. I know there's things that you're thinking about that are stirring. So I just want to check in with you and make sure you're good.
I am good. I mean, I do have questions, but I'm like, oh, we'll wait till later. There might be a time when it's a little bit more appropriate than me just randomly. So right now I'm good.
The random is good. Don't keep it smooth. Throw it out there.
Well, so I am curious because I didn't know you or Danny before we had these interviews set up, and Neo was like super pumped about them. And I was like, I'm sure they're gonna be awesome. I just have, he's like, we got Keto Savage. And I'm like, I don't know who that is. I'm sorry. But so then I started following you. But I also then started following Crystal. Mm-hmm. And I've seen you guys, and I'm curious, like, what that looked like for you, because she is also keto. Were you guys together when you both started keto, or kind of how did that play out for you guys?
Yeah, so I actually met her when I moved to Washington for work in way back in the day, like 2000, I don't know what year it was, but she, neither of us were keto, and she has like a bunch of GI issues. So she's kind of always been manipulating things to try and figure out what's best for her digestive tract. And I kept, you know, once I started keto and kind of going that way, I encouraged her to try it. She tried it once. It just totally made her feel miserable. She hated it. And it kind of like put a bad taste in her mouth for it. And then she tried it again. And then that second time, she just kind of stuck with it a little bit longer. Her body fully adapted. I feel like with women, it takes a little bit longer to adapt. But she got much more adapted that second time around. And has since not cheated at all. I mean, she feels so much better. Like, she still has digestive issues, and it still bothers her sometimes, but not near to the extent that it did when she was eating carbs. Like, she would have carbs, and she would look like she's 9 months pregnant, you know, whereas now that's all much more regulated, and there's just not near the issues that there was.
Prior to her transitioning to keto, what did that, because that's one of the things that I know I've seen on Neo's, the Keto Matrix Facebook page and stuff, is frequently people struggle with if the rest of their family members are not keto, or their significant other is not, and like what that looked like for them. Did you guys ever have troubles with that, or was it a pretty easy thing for you, or how did you guys manage that?
Yeah, so the first time that she tried keto, she tried it, and she like wasn't feeling good, so she would try and like cycling carbs. She tried the whole targeted keto, she tried the whole cyclical keto, and she worked at a coffee stand. She was a barista at the time, and so they had like all these like, you know, cakes and muffins.
I was gonna say, that would be awful.
yeah So she would like sneak those, and she'd eat a whole bunch of them. She'd eat a bunch of white rice and just like weird stuff like that, and then she would feel miserable, and she wouldn't tell me what was going on because she was trying to hide it. And I don't know why. Like, I mean, now she knows obviously that I wouldn't have like judged her anything for it, but yeah. So she struggled with that initially, and then once she fully got adapted that second time, she just felt so much better. And like, for her to be able to be keto and avoid just the stomach pain and discomfort that she had before was enough of a reason to not try and like get back on the carbs or have those like cheat moments at all.
Nice. Man, that's fantastic. I feel like we need to do like a how to date on keto and how that's introduced.
Was good. We both of us doing it at the same time made things easier for sure. I would imagine that if, you know, you're keto and your significant other is not, that would be very, very challenging. But I feel like there would just be a huge disconnect there. Like, I know, like, for me at least, I stay keto for a multitude of reasons, but one of which being like the long-term health benefit and just kind of like a way to proactively fight against, you know, cancer, Alzheimer's, dementia, all that stuff. So if my significant other is just slamming the carbs and in my mind fast-forwarding their rate of getting those, you know, disabilities and medical illnesses, it's like there's a disconnect there. Like, I don't want that for the person that I'm going to be with, and I don't want to be with you if you're going to shortchange your life with me, you know?
Yeah, that can definitely be a thing that causes issues. Or, I mean, even in families or going home. Like, I know when I go home, my family, well, they're, depending on, in their minds, probably like the diet of the month for me, as I've tried different things that seem so different to them. Keto has definitely been the most extreme for that, and the one that they understand the least. Mm-hmm. And it's something that can be hard when trying to explain it, particularly when you're still learning yourself, in a way, especially with so much mixed, so many mixed messages about what is keto, what is not keto, what you can have, what you can't have, net carbs versus like, and trying to get into any of that, and then being like, so what about this, or what about this, or like sending you, hey, I found this keto recipe, and you look at it and you're like, this is not actually something that I can eat, but they're trying, and not wanting to hurt feelings, but also wanting to help them understand and not. So I could only imagine what it would be like to be in a one-on-one relationship and to be on two different pages with that. So
it's really hard with families, like from a different generational standpoint, you know, cause like we are the age where, you know, we're kind of more in tune with like what's going on in the media, just kind of what's coming out with new research regarding, you know, health and nutrition. Whereas like our parents, for instance, I mean, they grew up in the time frame where fat was bad and carbs were good, and that's just it. That's like the law. And right. Like when I told my folks, for instance, that I was doing keto, kind of explained to them what that was, like they were very unsupportive of it. Like I wrote a book, right? And when I launched my business and my website, I launched this book alongside of it. I slaved over this book. And my dad is a college professor, so I had him proofread the book for me before I launched it. He read the book, proofed it, and said, "Son, this is terrible. One of the worst books I've ever read. If you put this out in the world, you're going to damage people's health." I mean, that's how unsupportive. That's what I had going on for me. So, like, I published it anyways. I'm glad I did. But you know, it's hard because you want to help them because you know. Mm-hmm. And here they are just, like, not only, you know, not being on the same page with you, but they're, like, adamantly fighting you for it. Like, it's very, very tough.
Wow. I never even knew. I mean, not that I would know that, but so how did you handle that? I mean, what was your, obviously you put the book out, but I mean, what was your response at that moment in time? And how is your relationship with your dad and you doing keto now?
He's coming around. Like, he's seeing that I'm healthy. Obviously I haven't died of a heart attack in the past 4 years, which helps. And then, you know, like, he's seeing the success that I'm building with it as a business, but like, it was tough, man. I mean, like, I love my dad, you know, I respect my dad. He's the smartest guy I know. So for him to, you just say those things and just totally knock the wind out of me. I mean, I use it. Like, I'm a very proud person too. Like, I don't let anybody beat me down. I take whatever people say and I turn it around and make it into a positive and use it as fuel to light my fire that much brighter. But it's never easy to hear those words from people that you respect and love, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Man, that's awesome. That's yeah. You know what's funny is I think our first episode I was talking about who I wish was the one person of all the people that I wanted to do keto, and it's my dad. Because, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, whenever you have people, I think, that are close to you, that you love, that you look up to, and you have something that has impacted your life so much, I mean, those are the first people that you want to have them experience it with you. I mean, yeah, I can't imagine. That's awesome. I love that. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so You've gone through all these different dynamics. I mean, I can't imagine, again, eating 550 grams of fat every day. I'm assuming your energy level must be through the roof right now.
Yeah, it's actually, I mean, I'm going to get fat during this next, I'm doing this for 6 months. I'm doing 6,000 calories for 6 months. And I'm going to get fat. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. But I'm also going to build a ton of muscle. And, like, the energy output that I have now, it's kind of hard to put a finger on because I've never really experienced it before. I did 6,000 calories when I bulked up originally on carbs and got to a very unhealthy fat, 230 pounds. But I'm kind of trying to compare that with keto at the same caloric intake. And, like, it's crazy. Like, I have a lot of energy and it's my body's using it, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I just did a night shift series for a while, and we were talking about, you know, what type of fats to use when, and having your fat level and even the macro ratio itself higher than typical to get through some of those times with the circadian rhythm shift and all those things. And I can just imagine if I was on 500 grams of fat, just how much I'd be buzzing around, because I know how I feel when I'm on like 300 grams. So that's incredible. Having said that, though, I think one of the things I really want you to unpack for people is, you know, you've kind of revealed a few different times that you've had some challenges. One is a minority in bodybuilding, getting the wind knocked out of you from your dad, you having ups and downs, meaning that you are absolutely human and normal. What do you do to kind of keep your mental fortitude there in some of these challenges that come up and arise? I mean, how are you keeping yourself prepped and prepared for those things?
A lot of it, man, believe it or not, is simply like putting out the content that I do, like the daily YouTube videos, and like reading those comments and knowing that I'm doing this for a bigger reason than just myself. And I'm trying to leave a legacy. And if I could spark just, you know, one other person to, you know, quit their 9-to-5 job that they hate and follow their passion and build a lifestyle out of it and get healthier and find the nutrition that works for them and train hard and, you know, push their body and mind to a limit they've never experienced before, and then have that spill over into all areas of their life, that I've won. Like, that's my success right there. And for me to read these comments, get these emails that I do on a day-to-day basis in response to the YouTube videos I put out of the podcast that I published, I mean, that right there holds me accountable. Like, that keeps me motivated to wake up and do it all over again the next day.
That's cool. So what is it, I mean, with that said, what does a typical day look like for you?
Well, today I woke up at 3 and I've been answering email first 3 hours of the day. Then I went to the gym, trained hard. I did chess today. And then I've since recorded a couple podcasts. I'm publishing a podcast now, publishing a YouTube video. And then I've got a couple of biz dev meetings, and then I've got, I'm doing like a live Q&A session for that Deeper State Keto, tonight. And we just moved into a warehouse space that I'm building into a kitchen / gym / collaborative space. And we moved in like last week or 2 weeks ago. So we're just kind of getting things set up there. I'm building like a podcast studio right now. So just kind of getting the foundation laid to make this the new headquarters.
Well, and that's in Fayetteville still, right?
No, we actually moved to Bryant, Arkansas, which is about 2.5 hours south of Fayetteville.
Cool. You were going to say something, Brittany, and I interrupted.
Oh, I was just going to ask if you wake up at 3 o'clock every morning.
Usually I'm up at 3 or 4.
What time do you go to bed?
Like, lately midnight, which is not good.
The cyborg. So
I'm trying to go to bed earlier and wake up at 3 or 4 and get a good amount of sleep. But I've been like staying up, you know, to 1 or 2, and if I stay up to 1 or 2, then I sleep into like 5 or so. But I'm trying to find a good like way to get caught up, stay caught up, go to bed a little bit earlier and wake up earlier, because I feel much more productive when I wake up earlier as opposed to staying up late.
I like it. That sounds like the word grind defined.
I tell you one thing, that when you own your own business, there is no punch the clock out, but I love it. I wouldn't do it any other way.
Well, yeah, I agree. There's definitely no time that anyone else takes over. So that's fantastic. I think, you know, with all the things that you have going on, where would you like to see the keto industry go? I mean, obviously, you know, we're doing these things to help other people impact their lives in keto and get the information that they need. You've been in this for a while, man, 4 years. Where do you see the industry trending? And what do you say to those that are, I don't want to say putting out bad information, man, because I know that everyone has the heart. I truly believe everyone has the heart to help. It's just what they've learned or understood about whatever they're sending out when they put it out there. So what do you say for those that are looking for the straight and narrow information or the clarity or the learning? How do you think that the best route is for them to go about doing those things?
For one, I think people need to be okay with self-experimentation and knowing that they don't have to have all the answers at the onset. You know, go in and try a few things and see what works and be okay with it not working and changing and adjusting and manipulating going forward. As far as the industry as a whole, I truly believe the keto space is very pure. The intentions are good. Like, it's such a great vibe that the community puts off. I just hope that it maintains that and then even, you know, betters over time. Like, there's a unfortunate reality in that wherever there's money to be made, people's integrity often dips. And that's sad, but it's true. I would love to see this space not be, you know, diluted by people that are just jumping in to make a short buck. Like, I don't care about the money. I've never cared about the money. Like, any money that I make from my keto business endeavors goes right back into the business so that I can impact and influence more people, period. No questions asked. That's just how it is. And I don't want to see people sacrifice their integrity in a space that is so pure just to make a dollar. So if there's any way to continue the positive trend, that's what I would encourage people to do. You know, do what's right.
Well said. That's awesome. Yeah, I would definitely consider you one of like the keto ambassadors as far as like in the industry and putting out content, even like the Keto Brick. I remember, I want to say it was when you were doing, I think it was leading up to your last show when you were making the Keto Brick for yourself and it was just for you. Mm-hmm. And people started inquiring. And I remember looking at it and you were eating it. And I was like, that's 1,000 calories in that small of a thing. I was like, that's pretty cool. So can you kind of walk us through like how that looked? And, you know, it's obviously tons of traction. I do have a question as far as like shelf life. If I open this thing and then I don't eat it again until October, because I really do want to taste it like right now. But kind of walk us through how did that look and how did that work out? And how are things going with the keto brick so far?
Yeah. So during my last competition prep, I wanted to make a shelf-stable meal replacement bar that hit all my macro ratios perfectly and was just easy. It was simple. Like, I didn't want to have to cook or anything. I wanted it to be just readily available.
And I appreciate that so much. When I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's what I miss the most is protein bar. Like, just being able to have the convenience of something on the go.
Yeah, 100%. And I love, you know, the whole whole foods approach to keto, you know, cooking your own food, killing your own food even. Like, I'm all for that. But sometimes you just need to like have something that's easy. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're in a contest prep and you've got a million other things going on anyways. So I made this for me kind of like out of necessity, never planned on it being a product that I would sell, never wanted to have a physical product in the first place. Like, I wanted to be able to work from my computer from anywhere, never wanted to be tied down with a physical product. And then people kept asking about it. They saw it on a YouTube video. They're like, what is that? Can I get the recipe? Can you sell those? You know, yada, yada, yada. And I never really thought anything of it. Like, my mom was like, you gotta sell these. I'm like, nah, you know, I don't want to. And then I'm like, well, shoot, I'll just freaking do it and we'll see what happens. We'll see what sticks. So we got, you know, a commercial kitchen space. We got health inspected. We got certified. We jumped through all the hoops and, you know, we started making these things in this kitchen all by hand. Crystal and I, you know, long nights in the kitchen, making these one by one by hand, mixing them in a freaking measuring cup. And, you know, we progressed from that and it's just gained so much traction. And my audience is so freaking low. Like, I have the best audience out there. I don't care. I mean, they're not the biggest by any means, but they're the best. And people just love to see the process, the me document the journey on the YouTube videos and just seeing from where we started to where we've come now. Like, it's just becoming something great. And I'm excited about where it's going to go.
Man, that's fantastic. So
I think you just talked him into opening his bar.
Yeah. So we're a little bit closer. I figured, I don't know if anyone's actually done a podcast where they tasted it with the Keto Brick Builder on the podcast. And so I figured everyone wants to know. I said I was going to do a review on it. So, I mean, it wouldn't be any more true than if I actually did it right now.
Yeah, man, I'm all for it. You never tasted it before at all, right?
I've never had it before. I smell chocolate. Like, the first thing that just hit me was like chocolate or cocoa of some sort. So, no.
Jump on in, man. Let me know your honest opinion.
Well, I can't lie to you right now because my microphone is not muted. It's
neither it's is your camera. You can see your face. So, right.
True story. So, I mean, I won't lie. I'm just going to jump in and see.
Hopefully, it's good, man.
You can hear me chewing.
Moment of truth right here.
Wow. I'm actually impressed.
Great. It's really good. Like, I don't know what I was expecting when I went to try it this morning. I was not expecting it to taste as... I mean, truly, with the salt in it, it makes it, like, it gives it the more complex flavor. I was not expecting it to have that much, like, depth of flavor, I guess.
Yeah.
Until I watch a lot of Food Network cooking shows.
Depth of flavor. I like that. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, because I didn't make it to taste good. Like, that was not my endeavor at all. Like, I made it for performance, period. No questions asked. I didn't want to sacrifice performance if it made it taste better. So I have, like, only 7 ingredients. There's sub ingredients, but 7 main ingredients, and that's it. And, I mean, it's shelf stable, 1,000 calories, 81.5% fat by calorie. And it's, I don't know, I'm proud of it. It works for me, and I made it for me. And the fact that it works well for others too, I mean, I'm happy for it.
Dude, this is phenomenal. I mean, I'm trying, you know, when I first opened it, I was thinking, I used to do like protein bars all the time, right? So the worst tasting protein bar I've ever had in my entire life was the old school power bars. Super, super, super chewy. And then I would say probably the best tasting ever was when the old school Detour bars first came out, where they literally tasted like Snickers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, you have the dichotomy of those two, and I'm eating this and I mean, it's really, it's totally good, but totally not what I expected, right? Like I didn't really have an expectation on what it would taste like, but it's so much better than what I would have thought. I mean, it actually is really good. And I've seen people post where they put it in like yogurt and stuff like that. I can totally mm-hmm. see that.
Yeah.
Like it's, man, that's phenomenal. Now I got to order more. So I'll have to, when's your next launch? Maybe we can find that out super early.
Yeah, we're probably going to do it, you know, like latter part of the month. I just invested in a whole bunch of equipment, so that'll help us ramp up production quite a bit. So yes, we'll get the supply knocked up some, and then we can do another big launch and get you stocked up, man.
Man, I think that's great. I mean, that really is that's kind of blowing my mind. so thank you for that. Thank you for sharing the recipe. Sharing the recipe with us, as in like producing it for others to get their hands on.
For sure.
You didn't have to do that. Yeah. Now, Brittany, I have two other things I'm going to ask him.
Okay.
But I want to make sure that I don't, I mean, yesterday you had a question, or I should say Wednesday you had a question that just came out of nowhere that I thought was amazing. And so I don't want to lose any of that. Where are you at on things? Is there anything else as you like delved into your research and looking into Robert that you were like, I got to ask him that while we have him?
No, I'm good at the moment.
Okay. So this is what I want to know from you, Robert.
All right, lay it on me, man.
You're a young guy, right? Like not you. I mean, you're young too, but I mean like you're a 17-year-old in the weight room trying as hard as you possibly can to get bigger, right? Like this was me in high school. What's the advice that you have for that individual, whether it be keto or otherwise?
It's kind of funny, man. Like at 17 years old, you're in the weight room, you're looking for the fastest way to build muscle, and that's just it. I mean, you read like the magazines in the grocery store aisle. You go to the GNC and you read all the back of the labels of all these canisters that have some jack dude on the front. And you're like, gosh, I got to get like that in the quickest amount of time possible. And you start diving into all different kinds of supplements and training techniques. And I had to sat me down at 17 years old and say, listen, Robert, you might not look a bit different in 3 years. And be okay with that. You got to just freaking put the slow grind on the game here. Play the long game and not worry so much about this short-term stuff. You got to just grind it out and be okay with the pain, be okay with just the very, very, very incremental progress, because that's what's going to allow you to stick with it. Like if you go into it expecting to see 20, 30 pounds gained in a year and you don't, then you're just going to fall off the wagon thinking you're doing something wrong. But if you go into it with like, you know, if I don't gain any muscle for the first 10 years, but then I start gaining muscle, I'm okay with that, then you're going to set yourself up and lay the foundation that's going to stick with you and make it a sustainable lifestyle as opposed to some short-term fix that you're trying to get.
I love it. That's fantastic. I knew you would have the perfect answer for that. I think that was one of, you know, I don't want to say I had an eating disorder, right? Like, but I did have, and I still struggle with like body dysmorphic disorder where, mm-hmm. you know, you look in the mirror, you look at the magazine and you go back and forth and the image that you see is not what you want, no matter how good you look, right? Like that's just the thing. That's the disorder. So being able to have, we'll have a younger audience listen to this. My youngest client that I coach right now is 13 years old. So being able to hear that from someone else, I think is fantastic. So thank you for that. And then the other question that I had, it kind of builds on that, is what do you say to your female clients and the females that are out there that are either A, you know, they're worried about working out and lifting heavy weights. I mean, Crystal, I don't know her background, and I'd love to get her on the show. But what do you say to the female clients that are like, you know, I'm a marathon runner, I do 5Ks, and you know, I want to help my body recomp, but I think lifting weights is just going to make me too bulky or too manly or whatever. What's your advice and opinion on that?
Yeah, I don't know why women think that. Like, I think they just like see a female bodybuilder on a magazine cover and they're like, wow, if I lift weights, I'm going to look like that. It's just not, you know, and that's so far from the truth. Like those women that look like that are taking more testosterone than I've ever had in my entire body. You know, like it just doesn't happen naturally. And people need to realize that. And if women just see the overall health benefits they would get from resistance training, like women want to be toned, but they want to do like treadmill to get toned. Like, first of all, I don't even like the word tone, but the way to get toned is to lift weights. And women need to realize that and know that. I mean, like Crystal, for instance, she's been lifting hard since shortly after we got together. So she's been lifting hard for 3 years, and she does not look like a magazine, like bodybuilder man. I mean, she just doesn't. So having that, you know, appreciation for what's possible naturally and not naturally, and being okay with, you know, the resistance training and putting the muscle on to impact your health for the better overall is what I highly encourage women to do.
Well, okay, I came up with a question. That is a very good point because, yeah, I don't know where it came from. Like, being a woman, I know that that was what I thought for the longest time, but being in high school sports and stuff and in college, like, I was kind of in a different realm where you wanted to, like, I mean, you didn't necessarily want to look, like, totally jacked, but on the same note, like, you also wanted to look cut and you wanted to look strong because that was intimidating on the basketball court or the soccer field. But as we are kind of wrapping up, the question that I have for both of you, because you both mentioned that there is a lot of white noise, just in general in life, but also particularly in with the keto buzzword right now. And if you were someone who doesn't necessarily have either the resources or the whatever to sign up and get a coach specifically right now, but you are intrigued and you want to kind of start into the keto world, and as you said, be okay with a lot of self-experimentation, where would you say that you would direct someone to kind of like start, or like your top 3 to 5 tips for getting started and being successful at starting?
So for someone that just wants to, like, it kind of depends on what their goals are, but I look at this kind of like a classic.
Like, you're looking at it as their health. Like, they just want, they hear about the health benefits. We talk about how this as a lifestyle change, it's not just a matter of looking a certain way or having a certain athletic performance, but just for the long-term lifestyle benefits. They want to make that life kind of change. Where would you recommend that person starts?
Yeah, so just to strip away so much of the noise, like, I look at this like an 80-20 analysis, you know, like, you're going to get 80% of the outcome from 20% of the input. And if people just simply ate whole, natural, good quality foods, you know, within reason, what they're able to afford. You know, some people use that as an excuse too, and they say, oh, I can't afford this grass-fed, and they just sway out of keto. But if you eat the best stuff you can afford, and you stick with the ketogenic macro ratio, and I don't like lumping or dealing in absolutes, but if I just said, you know, keep your carbs down to under 20 grams total carbs, and if you just kept your fat ratio between 70-80%, you know, that's going to cover most people's window right there, and comprise that of good quality foods, then that's going to satisfy the vast majority of people's desire to improve their health and wellness.
Cool. I was going to say the same thing.
I mean, that sounds very similar to what you were talking about personally, but I do know we do a lot of times talk about where we're at, and as all three of us having some sort of an athletic background or current athletic goals, sometimes we can get a little bit focused in on that, and I think it could sometimes maybe be a little overwhelming to someone, be like, I don't want to go run a 5K even. I just want to live longer and be healthier. And so kind of helping them identify where to start.
Yeah. So, I mean, the only thing I would add to that, because I think that, you know, we did the podcast that's not out yet on macros, and I know we have to do a part two of that version because it really does get intimidating for people to look at that. I never want to lose the sensitivity to the fact that there is a learning curve, especially for people that maybe they don't have an athletic background. Maybe they don't know what a macro is, right? Like, I get that. So my biggest two things have always been and will consistently be, make sure you keep your total carbs under 20 grams. Like, that's by far, do that. Like, you can't, the ketogenic process and using ketones all comes from being able to take that fuel source of carbohydrates away. So be under your 20 grams of total carbs, not net carbs, total carbs. And then get really good at becoming a professional fat finder. You know, we are so programmed to stay away from fat. And when you do that and you try to go keto, you feel miserable, right? Because you don't have the fuel source that you're looking for. So if you can focus on keeping your carbs under 20 grams total and then, you know, finding fat in everything that you're looking for to eat initially, if you just do those two things, you will feel better and you will see and realize the change as you continue to learn, you know, what you're supposed to be looking at and what's best for you and how to stay away from peanuts and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, and make sure you get your sodium and potassium. That's a good one, too.
Yes, yeah.
Yep. You know what? That'll make things better.
Yeah, I was going to say, you just brought that up, so I got to ask. How was your first 3 days? Because mine, I was spent locked in a room. I thought I was going to die because I didn't keep my electrolytes up. I had no idea or thought or recollection or understanding of the keto flu and any of those things. So, like, what was your first 3 days of keto like? How was that for you?
I honestly don't remember like what day I started. I just know that I started carbohydrate backloading pretty much immediately after my third competition. Okay. And then from there transitioned into keto, but it was all in a relatively short window of time. So my body was so screwed up from that competition that I couldn't tell kind of what was a result of that versus what was a result of being carb and glycogen depleted. So it all kind of melted together until I started feeling amazing. And that was, you know, what keto was for me.
Okay, cool. I can totally understand that. And then the last thing, I feel like I had this opportunity and I should have done it earlier, but for those that may be listening to this that either have had an eating disorder in the past, maybe they're currently struggling with an eating disorder now, you obviously have a lot more control over your relationship with food. What's your advice for them if you had one thing to tell them?
Well, for one, you know, to try keto, like that simply doing that and removing like the sugar addictions and just the imbalances hormonally from the carbs helped tremendously. But from like a psychological, emotional standpoint, you know, we live in a society where people put food on a pedestal. Like you do something great, then you celebrate with food. And that is just an unhealthy relationship in the first place. Like food is simply a means to an end, like it's fuel. And I love eating quality food. Like I love the taste. I love to just dive into that. You know, Brittany's watching Food Health Network shows. I mean, she does too, obviously. You know? So like, yeah. That's important. You know, that's part of our, you know, culture, but not to the extent that it becomes debilitating in your day-to-day life and it just overpowers everything else. Like if I'm obsessing more about what I'm about to eat than, you know, like the person I'm having a conversation with across the table from me, that's when it's gone too far. So putting an emphasis on what truly matters and putting food in the fuel spot instead of like the celebratory spot is absolutely key.
Love it. I love it. Robert, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you taking the time out. I know with your crazy busy schedule, if you didn't wake up at 3 o'clock this morning, you might not have had the time to get on. So totally appreciate
that.
No,
it's a pleasure.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com.